Hey guys, here for Epileptics here. It's been a little while since we did our last podcast. I've only been able to do this once a month. I've been wanting to do it more. And now that the coronavirus, it looks like cases are starting to go down and things are starting to get a little bit back to normal, but not really. I mean, people are trying to get vaccinated and so forth. I'm still have to wait for my turn. I'm not eligible yet. Bruno actually is. His doctor, his neurologist wants him to get the vaccine. So we had to fill out a bunch of HIPAA paperwork. I'm waiting to hear back from the nurse who's supposed to give us the letter so that we can then make the appointment. It's a very arduous process just to get the appointment. And then I don't know which vaccine he's going to get, if it's the one shot or the double shot or whatever it might be. So we have to wait and see what is going to happen there. And then we were trying to see if I can get a caregiver letter as well from the doctor, so that I can also get the vaccine, since Bruno is with me pretty much 24/7 right now. I've been working from home for just under a year. Yeah, it's almost been a year of working from home. You know, I'm not really a person that likes to work from home. The only time I really like working from home is like I've been working from home like, let's say, Fridays for the last 5-6 years. That I do enjoy, because it kind of breaks up the week. It ends the week nicely, so I'm not traveling to the city. I'm home, I get a lot of stuff done and so forth. But with what's happening now, I haven't been in the city since March 13th. My sister asked me earlier today, when did I start working from home, like officially working from home nonstop? And that's been it's almost been a year. And I remember when we were talking about COVID last year, it was like, oh yeah, no, we'll probably be out for like 2 weeks. And the point at which we said we should start working from home was, I do work by Bryant Park, so we started seeing like half the amount of people by Bryant Park. So it was just a matter of like, you know, it's getting weird. I don't know, it started feeling not like unsafe, but it just was getting weird. You just saw less people, more people with like masks and just things like that. I don't know, it was getting a little odd. Plus, you know, want to just be careful. So, you know, that's when it started. So I've been, you know, Bruno's pretty much been with me. He did have that caregiver that was coming twice a week also. So he was with my mother-in-law twice a week. And then he was with my mother-in-law twice a week, but the caregiver was there. And sometimes my nieces were there as well at the house. So, you know, he was with them. So she really made sure that he didn't have seizures, or if he had a seizure, like just to do the precautions, you know, have someone there just for safety. She didn't really have to do much. So she stayed probably at the house like 7-8 hours a day. And then she would leave about 5 when he usually took like his afternoon nap. So, you know, it's a little different. I know he's with me, so I'm just keeping things going as normal. He usually reads during the day or does some work. Since we moved, we've been still cleaning out and fixing a few things. We were just, you know, did some more updates in the den, including finally getting the media center he wanted in there, a piece of furniture for his records and so forth. And also, we were going to get a desk, but we have a desk, so I said, listen, we don't need to spend money on a desk right now. I'm very, like, all about not spending money. I'd rather just save it. And now that we're just doing our taxes, we're going to actually owe money instead of getting money. We usually get money back, so this year's a little rough because of making a home purchase. There's a lot of taxes involved. Money's moving around, so it shows increases in your salary. Then you get taxed for more things, so it gets a little crazy. I kind of figured that was going to happen, so we're just going to take care of whatever we got to take care of and just move on, and then next year we should get a better tax return and actually get a return. So, you know, we can't complain. We're just going to take care of whatever we have to take care of. And, you know, we were lucky to find the place we did and so forth, so we can't complain. So now to the important things, onto epilepsy news. So we went to the doctor. We go to the doctor every month. It's the one day that his neurologist is in the Long Island office, instead of having to like trek to the city, because Lenox Hill is like kind of uptown. It's not really easy to get to. There's nowhere to park ever, and valeting your car is not really, they don't do it too much anymore now with health issues and COVID and everything. So we try to avoid that as much as possible. If I can't go to the city for work, I don't want to have to go to the city for the doctor. So that's where we are there. So meeting with the doctor the last time, Bruno's device, we're already up to a 4. So we started at 0.5, the setting. Now we're up to a 4, solid 4. And they made some like setting adjustments to collect specific information. We see that he has a lot of electrical activity between 1 a.m. and 8 a.m., which is interesting. And he's not having really any seizures in his sleep that I'm seeing, but his brain is very active. So that's interesting. And a lot of children have that as well, that they have seizures like that, or seizures are like extended brain activity in the middle of the night. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing that we're doing with the doctor is he wants to start Bruno on a new medication. It starts with an X off that. It's off the top of my head, I can't think of the name. I don't even think I can pronounce it, but it's actually a medication that became available last year. And you know, most epilepsy medications, from what the doctor explained, have a 5% success rate. This has had a 20% success rate on patients. And they're using it more on people like Bruno who have more extreme seizures and epileptic episodes and things like that. So we'll see. So actually he started it, his first dose was tonight. And then we're actually, I had to adjust one of his other medications so that we can wean him off of one of the medications that we know is not working as well. So it's good that I'm home working because I have to keep an eye on Bruno for side effects and so forth. So I'm going to do that as well and see what's going on. So we'll keep everyone posted with how that works. So, and then he's going to be weaned off that, fully off the older medication in about a month. And then this medication's kind of on a card, so you pop the pills out every night. The first 2 weeks, it's, 12 and a half milligrams. And then the last 2 weeks, it goes up to like 25 or 26 milligrams per pill. So it'll be interesting to see how he moves along with that. So I'm just going to check for side effects. Always check for side effects, any kind of mood changes. You know, if he's having increased seizures, decreased seizures, like I'll keep an eye. So it's actually good we're home so I can see anything like that. So that's just some of the things we're working on right now. Otherwise, you know, he has daily seizures. He has, you know, if he gets tired, he'll have a seizure before. You know, sometimes he has seizures in his sleep. He's, you know, spills drinks on himself or on the couch or something. So I just have to clean those up. You know, obviously sometimes as a caregiver, you know, being quarantined, you know, you're with the person more. Sometimes I get upset when he has certain seizures. He always has seizures in the bathroom. So sometimes I do get upset about that. And, you know, it's, you know, just trying to stay calm for both of us because, you know, it's not his fault that he's having any kind of seizure. It's nobody's fault. You know, we're just, you know, trying to get through the day and, you know, live every day and get ahead with what we're doing. So, you know, it's not his fault. So we'll see what happens. It's hard to be a caregiver. It's hard to be, you know, a person with a condition right now because you are kind of stuck in one spot. So we try to go out here and there when we can. There's a diner out that we like to go to that usually is not too, it's pretty empty, so it's very safe. And then we go to my in-laws every once in a while. It's just literally the immediate family and that's it. So, you know, we don't see too many people. And I haven't been in contact, aside from text messaging and video conferences, with any of my, like, girlfriends or previous coworkers or coworkers now. That's really all we're doing. Same for Bruno. Like, if we're talking to someone, it's through, like, a video call or something like that. It's not in person. We haven't really seen anybody. So hopefully things will start, you know, changing a little bit. And it would be great to go to, like, the beach in the summer or stay somewhere for a couple of days just to kind of get out of the house and just be somewhere outside of the home. You know, it's been okay working here. Just making sure we have a good Wi-Fi connection and making sure that I have everything I need for work, which right now we do. You know, I had the president, I asked her if the, because she took everything from our office when we left. We were in like one of those temporary WeWork spaces. So we were always thinking about like, should we move to a different office? Should we do this? Should we do that? So it was easy to kind of like shut it down. This way when things come down, we can figure out what space we want and we can easily, you know, rent a space and then pick it up from there. It won't be so complicated for us to do that. And I don't have that much stuff right now. I usually just have my laptop, my task paper, like a little book, and really that's it, and my headphones, sometimes a pair of glasses, so I don't really need much. So it'll be easy, you know, it'll the only transition will be traveling again. But I actually like the traveling because you can like take a nap on the way home, almost miss your stop if that happens to you, things like that. So, you know, it'll be good to be here so I can at least see what's going on with Bruno and then see if this medication is helping him as well as the RNS device. If those two things combine, it is starting to work more. Right now, he's also on the CBD oil and he's on 4 other pills. So now, as we're weaning off this other medication, he's on 6 medications total. And he's also on some different vitamins and so forth. So, you know, it's a lot for one person. It really is. You know, we don't want that. You know, we gotta, you know, see what's going on. This doctor doesn't want him to be on so much medication either. So we have to really keep an eye on what we're doing and see what's working, not working, so we can wean him off some other things. So we'll see what happens. And that's really all the updates I have now. Otherwise, we've been, you know, I personally have been super crazy with work. You know, I work for a foundation. I do all the digital marketing. So, you know, it's a lot, especially we're trying to stay ahead of what's happening with COVID and, you know, different, a lot of companies are not doing as great. We've been doing decently. So I just want to keep an eye on that and make sure that we, you know, do a good job to keep ourselves like kind of with what's happening and information that people want, so we can kind of drive that content. So, you know, and definitely, you know, I'm trying to also, you know, carve out time to get back into stuff with the Here for Epileptics. So I already started posting more, and I would like to get back into the swing of things, posting posts about facts, more videos, more podcasts, and just start getting there. And March 26th is Purple Day, so that's like an Epilepsy Awareness Day, so we'll be involved with that. And once things start calming down, we want to get back to doing some different holiday fairs and other events where we can present some of what we're doing. People can make a donation, they can buy some other products that we have, and just get our name out there. That's really what it is, to hand out like the bookmarks or business cards and so forth, because you really have to, a lot of word of mouth helps. And we found out yesterday that my future sister-in-law, her cousin actually was diagnosed, he's 20, was diagnosed with epilepsy. So, you know, we offered to talk to him, and especially Bruno, but on the caregiver side and also the day-to-day myself. But definitely Bruno, who's been epileptic since he was 10, he's had epilepsy. So this guy's 20. So there, you know, Bruno knows how it felt to be 20 with epilepsy. So I think it'll be good, like, you know, a dude talking to a dude about that, and how Bruno's kind of navigating all those different situations and dealing with, let's say, depression, being down on yourself, you know, for maybe not being able to drive or doing certain activities or working certain jobs. You know, it's a big adjustment. And then he also has a girlfriend who seems to be really helpful for him doing research and so forth. So kind of just giving her tips too. So we're going to wait back. And then I also want to know what kind of seizures he's having, because they said he's having like the grand mal, which are the people think of when they think of someone with epilepsy, the falling down, foaming at the mouth kind of seizure. So that's, you know, there's 40 kinds of seizures, but that's like when you, someone who doesn't know about epilepsy, that's the first thing they think of. When you're talking about seizures, you know, they don't realize that someone could be staring off into space. They could be like, their arm could be shaking. That could all be a seizure. They can be literally doing nothing and looking catatonic. That could be a seizure, and so forth. So, you know, it's interesting. So we'd like to talk to them, and if we know what kind of seizures he has, if he's having falling, Bruno and I want to put together for him like a little gift pack full of a Hero for Epileptic items, a pair of sunglasses. We'll give him one of the baseball caps. We have the new era baseball cap with the hard hat insert that is really called a bump cap. So it's good for like small bumps. It's not, does not take the place of a construction helmet or a regular helmet or a baseball helmet or anything like that. But at least like if he just wants to kind of adjust himself to his situation, he can do that by just wearing this bum cap, at least again, and get used to it. And also it's very inconspicuous because it just looks like a baseball cap. You don't know that there's an insert in it, that it's hard as a rock. When Bruno shows people, they're like, what? I didn't even know that was, a helmet. So, you know, it's kind of like a good way to also cope with being an epileptic, because you're kind of, you know, for yourself. Like, it makes Bruno feel better because it's like, because sometimes he feels like people are staring at him, or like if he's wearing, like, he wore a baseball helmet after he had a surgery for almost a year, because the skull takes about a year to really adjust the surgery that he had. He had about 80 staples in his head. So, you know, they took out a piece of his skull to put the battery for the RNS device. So, you know, it's a big adjustment for him. So we had to wear the baseball cap all year long, the big baseball helmet, I should say. And then we also had my friend who works, she's actually from Africa. She works with, she has an organization actually that helps expecting mothers who, let's say, they don't have the means to support a baby. They supply them with diapers and formula and other things they're going to need daily. That, you know, it's also very expensive if you think about diapers and baby wipes and all kinds of stuff that you need for your child. So she helps them, but she came in contact with this family who has a little boy, I think he's about 10, who has epilepsy, and he falls, but he falls forward, so he'll land on his forehead. So she was asking us if we would like to be more involved with him, and we're like, oh, totally. Like, what does he need medication-wise, things like that. So we're going to probably be more involved with him, hopefully going forward, but I do get updates on him. So before she went to there, because she saw his family, she asked us like what helmet would be best for him. So we gave her the bum cap and also baseball helmet and said, you know, this will stay on his head. This will be good for him to have, because if he's falling forward, at least it has like the lip on the baseball helmet, so it'll kind of, he won't smash into the ground. And it's been very helpful for Bruno. It's prevented that, and the bum cap has prevented a number, I can't even tell you how many seizure injuries it's prevented, especially in the bathroom. That is like the number one place. That's like 60% of all injuries happen in your bathroom. And you don't even have to have a condition to like slip. People slip in the shower, people slip, you know, when there's a wet tile, you know, maybe if you're tired, you might slip on soap by accident when you're shampooing your hair. I mean, it happens. So we have the safety bars in our shower. We have two in the shower, one by the door, because it's always helpful. And I use them when I'm tired, and especially when I'm in the shower, you know, it's good to have something you can like hold on to in case you feel like you're kind of off balance, your equilibrium is kind of weird. So, you know, we have measures in place. I did some posts actually yesterday once I set the bathroom up for Bruno, and I'll do a video where I can explain, because there's other things in the bathroom that are very inconspicuous as well. Today's word is like inconspicuous, as I'm saying it for everything. I'm gonna do a video, but for the most part, the bathroom, we have a regular tub with like the glass sliding doors. The sliding doors are very thick, so I'm not worried about Bruno. I'm in the bathroom with him when he's showering at all times. Anyway, I don't leave. I don't go get something. I'm not on my phone. I'm not checking my watch. I have an Apple Watch. I'm not looking at that. I'm not like dazing off, or I'm paying attention to the guy. So we have a pillow specific for the shower, and then we have a full mat that lays across the floor. It's also cushioned, and it suction cups to the floor, and he actually just sits on it. He gets in the shower, sits down right away, because for some reason within the first 2 minutes of a shower he'll have a seizure, and it'll be like one where he's like flailing his arms. So we also have the I have like soft ball that's in there, you know, like a stress ball. And the doctor said, you know, see if it helps if he like squeezes something. So if I see him having a seizure and he's trying to grab like the mat or the shampoo bottle or whatever, I kind of shove that ball in his hand and he starts squeezing. And I tell him, squeeze the ball, Bruno, squeeze it. And sometimes he can hear me and sometimes he can't. It's not really his fault. He doesn't know what the hell's going on anyway. So, you know, I try to help him as much as I can. But, you know, he's safer because he's on the ground. So gravity, he's already down. So he's not going to fall. There's nowhere for him to go. And then when he gets out of the shower, he dries off first, gets out, sits right back on the, we have like a leather bench right outside the shower. The actual shower is kind of narrow at the bottom. So you can lay in it and it's easy to stand in and stuff like that. But you couldn't put like a safety bench in there. Our previous shower was a stand-up, like a stand-up flat shower, was a big shower. And we had a bench in there that he used to sit on. But even when he had a seizure, he sometimes fell out. He would try to get out of the chair, things like that. Here, he can't really do that because there's no, you know, he's all wet and stuff. It's not like he can just get up and, you know, he's sitting. So it's safer for him down and it makes it safer for me. And then I'm there as well. So I have a kind of the shower door open just a little bit. And I just, you know, am there until he's done, help him out. And then we get him out of there and he goes in the bedroom. But yeah, I'll do a video on that because we do have cushions on the corners of the sink that blend in. We have a floating sink. They blend literally right in with the wood. So you couldn't tell. And there's a piece of foam also the same color over the radiator. And it's the same color, so you couldn't tell. It's brown. And that stemmed from Bruno, one of his first falls. He smashed right into the metal radiator at our last place of residence. And it was bad. He had to have 4 staples because it was a metal radiator. So as soon as that happened, I cushioned the whole top of the radiator. So now, before we even moved in here, I did like a safety check and I baby-proofed like a bunch of things, like in the bathroom especially. I think I over baby-proofed because some of the ones around the sink, you know, the sink gets different. It gets wet because there's no, it's more of an open sink. So I had to take some of that away because it just got wet. It wasn't sticking. It wasn't helpful. And plus he didn't hit into it anyway because the sink is also like higher and he's kind of over it more than anything else. And I'm like standing right there. So he's not going to go anywhere. But the cushions on the sides, the corners of the sink, that's actually very helpful. That does help us a lot. And also it gives me peace of mind that I know, like, even if I can't hold him a certain way, this and that, if I have to lean him sideways a little bit, at least I know that the cushion's there. He's not going to, like, you know, it's not going to puncture his head or his body or something. You know, it's a cushion. And those are easy to replace if I have to, if they start getting wet, which, you know, water really doesn't go there. But if they did, I would change them. So there's always, like, you know, as soon as you are moving into a new place or you're thinking about it or anything like that, you got to definitely, for most conditions, but especially since we're our main focus and, you know, we can really teach people about epilepsy. You know, we're more able to educate in the area of epilepsy because we're living it. And we're living it 2 different ways, Bruno and I, but we're also living it together. And he's, you know, he's a good person. So the epilepsy is not him. It's just part of what we deal with. And it makes it harder for us to say, you know, we've decided that it's not right for us to have children. Even though we love children, we love them. We love our nieces. We have a nephew coming soon. We love, love, love them. And I'll do anything for them, play with them all day. They yell my name as soon as I walk in the door. My one niece so far, my other niece just makes noises because she can't really talk yet. They're really fun. But we, you know, we wouldn't be able to give them the attention with Bruno's condition the way it is. Me also pregnant, it's dangerous if he's falling and stuff. I can't grab him. And he might, you know, accidentally, let's say he might grab me a certain way by accident. Or, you know, when we have a child, like, I can't be running to help Bruno if I have a kid also that needs my help. That has to be priority. And also, you know, I have to make sure that we were able to give a child attention, you know, 24/7. You know, with my nieces and stuff, I can give them the time because I don't have kids 24/7. So being with them for like, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours in a day is fine. I don't mind because, you know, when I go home, you know, I'm not like, oh, I have to worry about my children too and this and that. Like it's easier for me to be with them because I don't have like some of those exhaustions. Bruno and I don't have kids, but we have different exhaustions. We have different things that take over our time and our life. And that's why buying this property, you know, it was just, it's a small, it's not a big property. It's 100 square foot property, but it's our first thing we owned. It was our goal. My goal was to get my master's degree, get married, and we've been almost married for 10 years. We've been together for almost 13, and to then buy something. And now we'd have that. And next time we'll see, maybe want to get something bigger, stay in this area. Like, we'll figure that out. We want to at least be here for 5 years, and see where kind of everyone else lands in the family. Like, who's landing in Long Island, you know, at Queens, who's like going to be spread out, if my in-laws are going to move to certain areas. We just want to see where everyone's going to, because we can definitely buy property anywhere, and I can, you know, I drive, so I can travel anywhere I need to. And Bruno, you know, he's good, you know, hopefully in the future, maybe he'll be well enough. He can work even himself or do certain things from home and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. We're very hopeful. You have to be positive, but definitely going back to, before you move into a place, just do like a safety check. Like, look at your surroundings. As soon as I come into a new place, we made if you look on our website and on our Instagram page, we do have some safety, you know, information for epilepsy and what to do when someone has a seizure. It's good knowledge. I have one of those taped right into my cabinet, and actually Bruno's pills are in that cabinet as well. I have everything in there that we need, so that in case, let's say someone's here, because I know what to do, but if someone's here, I'm not here and someone's here with Bruno, they'll know what to do. Or if someone's here and I'm helping Bruno and, you know, I need their help, they need to know what's happening on that paper as well. So, you know, it's definitely good to keep that. And Bruno, I try to tell him, you know, he doesn't go in the kitchen too much because there's, you know, we have quartz countertops, there's quartz everywhere. You know, the floor is, you know, like hard. There's all kinds of things he can fall into. I mean, there's metal and glass and whatever. So I really don't want him in there. And there's no reason for him to be in there anyway. You know, we have like the coffee bar on one side and things like that. So I make him, you know, if he wants an espresso, coffee, whatever, I'll do it. And I prepare all of our meals in there. And then he sits at the, you know, we have a nice dining room table. We have a bench that's like cushioned that we picked on purpose when we moved so that he was safe. And then I can sit next to him too if I want, you know, depending if like we have the TV on, maybe we're watching something together. Sometimes we turn it off, listen to music. It just depends on the night and how we feel. So you just have to do what's best for you and what's comfortable and safe. So those are just, you know, my spiel for tonight. But definitely we'll have more information. He's only just started the new med, so hopefully we'll see. You know, I'll keep an eye on any kind of you know, issues with the medication, you know, side effects and this and that. But for the most part, you know, hopefully it helps with the seizures and we can then move from there. That's the goal. So yeah, have a great night and I really appreciate everything. Thank you. Photosensitive epilepsy is when exposure to flashing lights causes seizures. It is most common in children and it affects fewer people as they grow older. Exposure to flashing lights, which can trigger a seizure, can occur in ordinary situations like watching TV, playing video games, during fire alarms, and concerts. Keeping a reasonable distance away or adjusting the brightness of lighting in spaces where you may be exposed to flashing lights can be helpful if you have photosensitive epilepsy. If you cannot avoid a certain light-related trigger, try covering one eye and turning away from that light source. If you want to learn more about epilepsy and triggers, please visit www.ahearoforepileptics.org. Thank you.